Okay. Welcome back to Eglinton TV's interview with Camille Turner, performance artist. She's been all around the world with her signature show, Miss Canadiana. We were talking just now, her influence and her affinity, respect, admiration, and inspiration that she gets from the country of Senegal in Africa on the continent. So Camille, yeah, you were saying you've been down there a number of times. So what?
Twice.
Twice.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a number, isn't it?
Yes.
Some of these words are journalists use, you know, a few. What about the people? What about the artistry? What about the lore? The idea? It's a very cosmic place to some degree.
It is. It is. What I really loved is the way Senghor basically really kind of made art a really central part of the development of Senegal. Mm-hmm. And so the Biennale is you know, something that came out of that. It's really put contemporary African art on the map. There's so... You can't see a Biennale today without contemporary African art being a part of it. And it's largely because of this Biennale and, you know, how it's really... I went just last year, or actually this year, again, and it's 10 times bigger than it was 10 years ago. Mm. It's pretty amazing.
And you mentioned Senghor, which is Leopold Senghor, past president of the country, and in the 50s, one of the leaders behind the negative movement in terms of French intellectualism of the continent of Africa and French protectorates of the Caribbean that was centered in Paris and around England, a poet, major poet himself. So there was always that, the filmmakers, the painters. So Senegal has always been, for since colonialism days, one of the hotspots of African diaspora culture itself. Yeah. So what were some of the things that you can remember from those two trips that you say contemporary? Like, there's that big ass statue, right?
Yeah.
That's what, 60 foot tall and so
it's
on?
It's pretty crazy.
That must be imposing when you
stand
up
and
look at it. 60
It's kind
feet.
Of ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. I mean, most of us didn't know it existed until a couple of years ago.
Yeah. The African Renaissance. There's so much controversy over it. Some people think it's quite vulgar and some people think it's pretty amazing. I mean, it's very imposing. For me, Senegal it's been my introduction to the world of contemporary African art, but also to all kinds of things that are sort of, I don't know, boiling inside of me right now. Like, for instance, The Door of No Return, you know?
Chilling in a way.
Totally chilling, yeah. And I really love Dion Brand's book and the way she talks about the diaspora being, you know, the door is a part of our story, whether we wanted to or not. We can't... She talks about us always returning to the door. You know, the door is a part of our identity.
Because that door, to explain that, is the last look Africans had leaving the continent, looking towards where they were going to in the so-called American New World.
Yeah.
Your first last look from the dungeons and to go to the ships is the last thing you see.
Yeah.
Oh wow, that's cosmically fascinating as it is diabolical. Really.
Totally, yeah, the whole thing. And the really strange and haunting thing is it's actually a beautiful place. Mm. Goree Island is beautiful.
The slave castle
is beautiful. I remember I had these photographs and I was developing them, and the woman at the place where I was developing them was commenting on how beautiful they are, and they are. And there is something really, you know, horrific about all of that beauty and the horror that it contains. Saidiya Hartman's book, Lose Your Mother, I read it while I was in Senegal the last time, and there's something about the journey that she took that really mirrored what I was going through, because I went to the door and I kept going back. I started working with sound. Sound is something I've just been, I don't know, it's something that's really inhabiting me. lately, because it's such an immersive medium, you know, and using it to create stories, stories that you're actually walking through. And it's very evocative. It evokes all kinds of...
Well, the sound is very, I mean, it's one of the most powerful of the senses. Yeah. I mean, whatever you want to call it.
It's a very visual medium.
And it sparks you to all kinds of things, whether it's your own personal metaphorical flair and universe that you create, really.
Yeah, so I've been really playing with sound and just using sound to evoke these black geographies in Toronto. But when I went to Senegal, the way I recorded my journey to the Door of No Return, and I went back 3 or 4 times, is through sound. So I've got all this recording that I want to do something with. But I was there for 2 months in Senegal. And so the second month, I decided to spend it.
That's a good time.
It was amazing.
I'm telling you, it was soaking that thing up like a spongy.
Believe me. Believe me. So the second month, I decided to spend it in this place called Saint-Louis. And I thought, oh, you know, this is a smaller place. It'll be, you know, a chill place to just relax.
Quiet down.
Yeah, and just kind of contemplate all of you know, what I had experienced. Because the Biennale is just, you know, there's so much going on. It's really fun, but, you know, there's so much going on. And then all the stuff with the door. But so I thought, okay, I just want to chill. I get there, and the second day I was there, I decided to go on this architectural walking tour. The first place that we got to, the guy said, oh, so this house, it belonged to a young French couple. They were traders, you know, there were lots of trading posts here. This was the first one. And they traded in gum arabic and palm oil and slaves. And by the way, we're in the place where the slaves were kept. Clifton, I didn't hear another word that man said. You know, it was just, yeah, it was really something. So reading Saidiya Hartman's Lose Your Mother at that place, and this is her epic journey. And she's an academic, but it's very personal, the way she writes. It's heartbreaking, you know, and she talks about how slaves are made. Slaves are not born, they're made, you know, and that dehumanization, that thingification that happens.
Because you weren't just taken and then immediately whisked to a ship and whisked off. There's a journey from where you're captured, maybe, and there's the holding points, a lot of those dungeons there. Yeah. Time goes by before you know you're going, or you might not know, but you're ending up going. That is a powerful experience for someone from the African diaspora. We all endeavor to get to the continent at some point, to at least go and see where it happened, to experience a spiritual coming back of the circle, as it were. And there is the search for home so often. How much did you feel at home in Senegal and the African continent?
Yeah.
And what is that experience like? Because we say we are diaspora, right? Those of us who are born in the Caribbean, the United States, England, and so on, we want to get back to the continent. But what is that feeling like when you get there? And is it a sense of home? Or what is it in relation to home, belonging?
That's a really good question. I actually was there because I was one of the very lucky recipients of the Chalmers Fellowship. And what I wrote in my application was that I wanted to go to really sort of piece together things that I have only read about or dream about, or they're inside of me because of ancestral memory, you know? But I knew, because I'd been there before, that returning is kind of an impossible thing. There's something that yearns for this return, and there's something inside of us that really wants to be, you know, just embraced and
have the mother continent embrace.
Exactly, mama. You know, yes.
Let it out.
Exactly.
Everything's gonna be all right.
Yeah, that is what we all want.
But that's not what happened with you?
It's not. There are moments of all kinds of beauty there. There are moments, you know, I really feel like when I travel, I see myself in a different way. And there's a lot of that.
But you're connecting to hundreds and hundreds of years of distance and time and history and longing and yearning and questions
and language that separated. The language is one huge thing that separates you.
Sentimentality was just sap all to you, or what?
Yeah, you kind of.
You're just a killjoy to the sentimentalists over here. You know what I mean? The whole Back to the Africa movement.
I know.
Come on, baby.
There's a lot of. There are those moments, and there is that return, but it's not what it's not the return, like, it doesn't quench that longing.
That comforting, totally comforting.
Mm. No, what I said in my application too is that, you know, I don't know where my ancestors left, like through which door they exited Africa, but Senegal, the door, you know, is where I chose to return. And that's the thing. There's an unknowing. There's a never knowing. There's there's this. There still is, you know. And it's really something. Witnessing people who are connected to a past that they can own. It almost makes my own yearning more, you know, stronger. But it also gave me, it made me also want to know more about Senegal. And I'm just at the very beginning, but there's a lot of history there. I mean, it's a complex place.
Good, bad, and ugly, I imagine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, okay, so I'll give you one instance. Trying to navigate the space, that, you know, most Senegalese people would navigate the space using these buses. Mm-hmm. They're really beautiful. They're all colorful.
Not like maxi taxis in the Caribbean.
There's all of that too. There's a whole bunch of different types of transportation. A lot of times I would take a taxi. Taxis here are expensive. There, not so much. Like, if for a couple of dollars you can go anywhere. So I would take a taxi. The taxi drivers never ever knew where I wanted to go. So I would say, this is
some kind of strange opposite movie or what?
Oh, it's so weird. But that's the thing. You really are in a strange opposite movie when you're there. Because all the names of everything is in French. But that's not where people live. People speak the language, but that's not where they live. They live in Wolof. That's the most predominant local language. And it's a whole different mindset, a whole different world. You know, there's this colonial veneer that's over everything. There's this, you know, the streets are this grid system that's imposed by the French. All the signs are French. You know, the names of the buildings. Like, there's so much. So you'd get in the cab. You'd say where you want to go. They would, you know, you'd haggle over the price. you get taken somewhere, and then they'd always yell out the window, "Hey, Grand!" And then they would have some conversation with somebody, and they would find a way to work out where you're going. And people depended on each other, worked together. There was this real camaraderie there that was really quite beautiful, you know. But you really feel on the outside of that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Dude.
There's a lot of things that make you feel like you're really on the outside of things. The language, there's a lot.
So you got comfort, and at the same time you know that you are not from there.
Yeah.
And that you will get lost in this place.
Oh yeah.
So okay, so you don't feel at home after going back to the continent. You've let go some of the sentimentality. Glad to get there and realize that the history has turned into more than just something that's a comfort. You don't belong in Canada, because one of the lessons around Miss Canadian is that they don't expect you to be.
Yeah.
They're excluded.
Yeah.
Sparked by you being looked at this mall in North Bay. You grew up in Jamaica when you were 9, left Jamaica. You went to Insania, lived in Hamilton. Go back to Jamaica, you realize you're not Jamaican either. Mm-hmm. So you're not Jamaican, you're not Canadian. What are you then? You're not Senegalese, you're not taking on the Africa, Back to Africa movement. element of sentimentality and comfort. So what is this diaspora thing, man?
What's the diaspora?
Because that seems to be where a lot of us end up saying that we are diaspora blacks. What does that really mean?
That's a very, very good question.
Nobody want we.
You know? It's true.
We don't belong nowhere. That's what that diaspora is short for.
I really think, that's why I call myself an Afrofuturist.
Okay.
I really feel like... space is something you gotta claim, and it might not be a physical
space. In this case, real space.
Yeah, but really space, I'm telling you, yeah. And I really think that, we have to create our future. You look at all those kind of sci-fi white futures.
Logan's Run.
You know?
I saw Logan's Run the other day, and white folks don't expect us to be here.
No, exactly. And if we are, they're clearly running things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, we need to claim that space.
Afrofuturism. Yeah. There is a movement, Afrofuturism.
Yeah.
So are you part of that then, in terms of that definition? Or what specifically about your version of Afrofuturism? Bear in mind that we're trying to contextualize it within the relationship of diaspora.
Yeah.
That we are of the world that takes from all of Africa, not just continental Africa, but all of worldwide, international, cosmic, what do you call it? Black lore.
Yeah.
And make up ourselves.
Yeah.
So Afrofuturism is what is it for you then?
Yeah, well, I came across years ago this Afrofuturist listserv that Alondra Nelson, Coco Fusco, DJ Spooky, all those guys were on.
I haven't heard about that, but in years too.
Yeah. So they were, doing their thing, and it was interesting to me. But I think it's kind of been a gradual ramping up for me.
Mm-hmm.
This idea of, belonging, home and belonging. Like this is sort of at the heart of everything I do.
You live in Toronto, Canada.
Mm-hmm. I live in Toronto, yeah. But home and belonging and what that is for me as a diasporic person, So Afrofuturism is interesting. This Yatasha Womack, really amazing writer who came to Toronto a few months ago to speak. We had all these events going on. There's these young brothers right now who are ancestors who are doing all kinds of really interesting work that's very future oriented. So there's African Black Future Month at OCAD,
yes.
For instance. Danila McCollum is the organizer.
Visual artist in Toronto.
Yeah. So she came to one of these events and, she's seeing all this explosion of all kinds of Afrofuturists, this and that, all over. And she says, so what is it about Toronto, or about Canada that's attracting all this Afrofuturism? I says, as Black people here, we're invisible in Canada. And in terms of the global Black kind of consciousness, we're not really even there either. Like a lot of times in global Black discourses, Canada is just not even present, not even thought about. We have to invent ourselves. We have to breathe ourselves into being. We have to create ourselves. And that's why I think there's so much Afrofuturist activity in this.
Mm-hmm. Still though, I would like to just clarify again that the relationship, so that the diaspora concept is a part of the definition of Afrofuturism,
yeah,
but with a more forward-looking thing to reinvent ourselves more deliberately.
Yeah, I think so. And I think of Dionne Brand as an Afrofuturist, and I'm sure she would not say that she is.
Yeah, probably not. Maybe not. Yeah.
I don't think so. But she says to live in the diaspora is to live as a fiction. You know,
a future fiction.
Yeah, like I think we're always creating ourselves. You know, we're always creating ourselves.
Wow, we got to pause on this one here. she's not diasporic. Our interviewee today, Camille Turner, she is Afrofuturistic. You're listening to Clifton Joseph here doing the stuff for Eglinton TV. We'll be right back.